Well, let's pray over the offering because I know that people give online. So we definitely want to do this in faith because in everything we do, we want to do in faith. Amen. Father, we just come before you. I pray over the seeds that have sown to the people who sow online and give through the on the internet and then also here, Lord. We speak, Lord, in the name of Jesus that it is going to come back to them a hundredfold, Lord. Literally, Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are blessing them. Those who sow seeds into the kingdom, Lord, that they will be rewarded and they'll reap a harvest, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you for their blessings, and we thank you that whatever they do, that you recognize it, Lord. And we thank you that you are faithful, Lord God, and you recognize those things that we do in faith, and that we can do nothing to please you unless we do it in faith. And we thank you for everything we do in yes, your name. Amen. Go ahead.
So, Lord, we know that Addie, she has a heart for you, and she just went through some struggles. But, God, we lift up her family to you, and we pray that you will always chase her down.
Yes.
Like, all through her life, that you will continue to just chase her down,
yes,
love on her, despite yes, things that she's went through, things that she's seen, and experiences that she's had. God, that we pray that her heart will still turn to you, that she'll keep turning to you as she grows and she gets older. And God, we pray that you will be able to bring healing to that family, mm-hmm, and that the things that need to happen there, that you will literally lead and guide their steps and walk them through and draw them closer, mm-hmm, to you.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, tonight, I want to look at the miracles of Jesus, some of the miracles. I mean, we're not going to go through all, 17 of them tonight, but that are recorded in the New Testament. I believe there's 17. Anyway, different accounts. Now, the Bible talks about, we'll look at Luke chapter 13. Turn to Luke chapter 13, verse 10. I'm going to read out of Living Bible. But it's very, and I think it's easy to read through the Bible and go and have a very mechanical mindset sometimes. You know, before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, when I read the Bible, it was like I was just getting information. You know, there was no illumination. See, that's the difference between, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees and Jesus. Because Jesus had the Holy Spirit come upon him, he had revelation of the Word. And he was the Word. So he not only had revelation of that, but he also had revelation of who he was. And the Pharisees didn't. Everything was just choppy. It was just information. It was legalism. It was, they did not have the heart of God. They couldn't see the trees from the forest. They couldn't see the big picture. Everything was, so again, it starts with Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and it's just been God's attempt to bring us back to him through this whole Bible. I mean, that's the whole story of the Bible, is Jesus redeeming us back to him. And so when we look at the healing or the miracles of Christ, we see his heart. And when you see his heart, it's hard to have often some of the commonly held views of much of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, when you talk to people and they say, well, I don't believe that. You know, the Bible says that Paul called himself a slave of the Christ. I am a slave unto Christ. What that means is we don't have our opinions anymore, right? So when I read the Bible, I try not to have any preconceived ideas. I'm just like, this is what it is. What are you saying to me, Holy Spirit? It's not things of, well, I believe this or I believe this or I believe this. There is an antage of you only read what you believe or you believe what you read.
Yeah.
I only read what I believe is, I skip parts that I don't agree with,
uh-huh,
or don't understand. Well, if you don't, you know, when you're in school, you focus on the things you don't understand, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I understand 2 + 2, why do I need to rehearse that 1,000 times, right? I don't need to rehearse that because that is something I understand. The things I want to focus on are the things I don't understand. Right? I need help on it. I seek help. I see those things. And a lot of people, the body of Christ, they forget or they avoid those things because it's uncomfortable. I don't know what to do with it. Well, begin to ask questions. You know, Adrian was talking about Proverbs earlier, and how, you know, watching a movie, you know, you'll see things all the time in it. You'll watch a movie. And one of the things I remember a psychologist talking about watching a movie, he said, the reason why we like to watch movies is because we want to be reminded of what we've seen before. It's a comfort thing because we know it's good, or we know we enjoy that movie, but we're also seeing things often we've never seen before. Or, again, it's reminding. So it's not that we don't know what's going to happen, but we like to see it again. Mm-hmm. It's enjoyable. It's something that we... and every time I read through the Word, especially, I mean, even something like, you know, Genesis, for example. Every time I read Genesis, it's like a brand new book. I mean, I just think, where was I at before? You know, what? Every time, why? Because the Holy Spirit is building something layer upon layer upon layer. The first few times I read it, it was just like, I was just getting information. I was getting the basics of the groundwork. Then the Holy Spirit is beginning every time. It's more revelation that He gives us to open our eyes to things. But it's a process. You're not going to get everything all at once, you know? And I always laugh at the story. My pastor back in Oskaloosa, you know, just got baptized. Adrian and I got married in August, and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit in December of 96. And I was reading the book of John, and we were in a Bible study one Sunday night, because we had Bible studies on Sunday night. And I was like, have you read the book of John, man? It's completely awesome. And I was wigging out because the Holy Spirit was revealing things to me. It was not just Jesus was here, He got baptized, this is what happened, this is what happened, and this is what happened, and this is what happened. So now I'm separating myself from the theological understanding to a person who's alive. There's a breathing, living document. It's something that's alive. And so anyway, when we read the Word, it's not just mechanical, but I like to look at what was Christ doing? What was Christ's reaction? What did He do? What happened before and after? I begin to ask questions. When you read the Bible, that's when it's exciting, when you begin to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Ask questions. So, for example, we look at Luke chapter 13, verse 10 through 13, and it says, and Jesus was on the Sabbath, on one Sabbath, as He was teaching in the synagogue. So we know right there, he was in the synagogue, so He's in church, and He was on the Sabbath. So what's the Sabbath mean? You can't do anything, right? So, you know, going into this, Jesus' hands are, by the law, tied. But guess what? Jesus is the law. He is the Word. He is everything. He sets the rules. You're telling, it's like playing sports and then lecturing the referee about the rules. Well, no. No, they understand the rules, right? At least they should. Verse 11, He saw a seriously handicapped woman who had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to straighten herself. Well, how horrible to see somebody bent over in half, looking at their shoestrings. Now, they didn't have shoestrings back then, right? Okay. Looking at their sandals, never being able to straighten up. Jesus didn't just walk by. That stinks to be her. What did He say? Verse 12, calling over to her, Jesus said, woman, you are healed of your sickness. He touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised and thanked God. Jesus is so wonderful. He saw a need, and He was moved with compassion. He touched this woman. Jesus literally changed this woman's life dramatically. John chapter 4, verse 46. John chapter 4, verse 46. So when Jesus shows up, he changes things dramatically. John chapter 4, verse 46, and it says, in the course of His journey, this is a Living Bible also, through Galilee He arrived at a town of Cana, where He had turned the water into wine. While He was there, a man in the city of Capernaum, a government official whose son was very sick heard that Jesus had come from Judea and was traveling in Galilee. Now, why did it mention that he heard Jesus was coming? I mean, anybody could be coming there, right? What was specifically interesting about Jesus? Why? Because Jesus had a reputation, didn't he? Now, interesting here enough how the world and all the worldly people understand that there are good things that Jesus manifests when he shows up, right? It's like when the circus comes to town. You know, everybody's having fun, and oh, look at the animals and all the clowns and everything. Well, when Jesus showed up, things happened. And he had a reputation, obviously. So this man knew about Jesus, and there was a reputation about what Jesus had done. So this man went over to Cana, found Jesus, and begged him to come to Capernaum with him and heal his son, who was now at death's door. So when I read this scripture, I'm thinking, number one, this man hears about Jesus. He knows that Jesus has the ability to change the situation. Why would you, for example, I mean, you know, some of the billionaires in this world, if you needed, like, you know, a lot of money, or, you know, people who are looking for donations or endowments and things like that, you know, they're not going to go to the hood to get money, are they? Because they don't have the ability, right? They're going to go to people who have means to talk to them about the needs that they have and to help them with certain things, right? This man knew Jesus had some goods, and that's why he approached him. You notice that people who do not approach Jesus never received anything. Just letting you know that, right? Only the people that approach Jesus receive something. Verse 48, and Jesus asked, wouldn't any of you believe in me unless I do more and more miracles? The official pleaded, sir, please come now before my child dies. Then Jesus told him, no, I've got things to do. I'm busy. Go away. No. He said, go back home. Your son is healed. The man believed Jesus and started home. Why did he believe Jesus? Because of his reputation, right? Because he knew. I'm going to just say this right now. The people during Jesus' time knew his heart. They knew there was something special about this man, Jesus, and he cared about people. Did the Sadducees and Pharisees care about people? Not really. It's pretty obvious, right? Then Jesus told him, go back home. So, verse 51, let's skip down there. While he was on his way, some of his servants met him with the news that all was well. His son had recovered. Interesting enough that Jesus, he sends his word, and it's working behind the scenes even though we don't see it. Everything seems lost, it seems terrible, and that's why I keep telling people, the people who have prophesied, especially what we're going through right now, about some of the things they've spoken, they've been right. And I believe God is going to change things, so I don't have to worry about, you know, and I trust the word. I don't have to worry about the world system. I don't have to worry about this other junk. I trust God's word because it works behind the scenes when I don't see what's happening. And what was happening here? That word was spoken. That little boy was healed. That little child was healed, even as he went back home. He asked them when the lad had begun to feel better, and they replied, yesterday afternoon at about 1 o'clock, his fever suddenly disappeared. Then the father realized it was the same moment that Jesus had told him, your son is healed. And the officer and his entire household believed that what? Jesus was the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Not just that he's a healer, but this guy is the real deal. He's the one we're looking for. He is the one we're looking for. Amazing. They saw him, they heard about him, they heard his reputation, and then he shows up, he just simply speaks the word, doesn't come and touch his son, doesn't pour any oil on anybody, doesn't do anything. There's no fire from heaven like Elijah. None of that happens. He just spoke the word and he was healed. Why? Because Jesus had compassion and he wanted that little boy to be well. Verse 54, this is what Jesus' second miracle in Galilee after coming from Judea. Right? Now, let's put things in perspective here, right? Because during this time period, none of these people were saved, right? And they didn't deserve it. So they weren't born again. It wasn't like they were righteous with God or anything like that. Now, they still had to sacrifice animals, and they were still, you know, the Day of Atonement and all these things they had to do. They still had to bring sacrifices at the temple, their sins. They had to, whatever Levitical law did, and then they had the Day of Atonement where the whole nation came together. They sacrificed a lamb, and there was a scapegoat. All of that stuff still went on. So these people were spiritually dead. They were not born again yet. But Jesus still healed them. Many people only believe the rumors of Jesus and his healing power. See, people came because they heard about Jesus, right? They heard those things. What happened when Pilate sent Jesus to Herod? What did Herod do? Oh, I've heard about you. Let's see some miracles right now. Why don't you do something for me? Let's see some action here. Come on, let's see some things. And Jesus didn't say a word. And then everything else, and then Herod's like, get out of here. He's just a fool. He's not even talking. Well, Jesus didn't want to disclose anything at that point, right? Because he knew that his time was up. Jesus knew that his calling was go to the cross. He did not want to hinder that at all. Because, you know, if he worked his way, he could probably have talked his way out of it. Say, well, you know what, I'm sorry, these things didn't happen. And that's what really Pilate was looking for, was give me something so that I can let you go. You know, help me here. And Jesus wouldn't. Mark chapter 1. It is so refreshing to see the miracles of Jesus and to read his heart and to see those things and what his heart was for people. And he just, when you read, you can have one of two things. You can either read through the eyes of Jesus, through a religious mindset that he's always trying to hide things from us, we're not good enough, you know, he doesn't necessarily want to heal everybody, or you can look at Jesus through the eyes of he loves everybody and he wants everybody to be healed and be delivered, and he has compassion on all people. There's two different types of Jesuses that you can look at. So Mark chapter 1, verse 23, we'll start there. And so it says, a man possessed by a demon was present and began shouting, why are you bothering us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us, demons? I know who you are, the Holy Son of God. Demon-possessed people come to church, by the way. Verse 25, Jesus curtly commanded the demon to say no more and to come out of the man. At that, the evil spirit screamed and convulsed the man violently and left him. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began discussing what had happened. So not only is Jesus delivering people from sickness and disease, but he is delivering people from demonic oppression and possession, isn't he? The enemy, there's no peace with the enemy. Like the old saying, there's no rest for the wicked. There is anything evil and demonic, anything like that, there's no peace. There's just torment. It's just terrible. Jesus brings us peace. Not only does he care about our physical body, but he also cares about our emotional well-being, correct? He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. He wants us to have the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, and against such there is no law. Meaning there is no restriction on any of those attributes of the Holy Spirit according to Galatians 3rd chapter, right? You just do all you want. You can care about people all you want. You can be as faithful as you want and everything else too. Why? Because those are the byproducts of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are the things. When God shows up, those things manifest. Love, peace, patience, long-suffering, right? That's why when everything is going on in your world, God is not freaking out. He has peace because he knows you're going to have victory if you stay with him. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. And we're going to read a little bit here, but it's so good. You know, sometimes we can, it's always good to take the word and just read it. Sometimes it just, you know, it's not that I'm against commentary and those things, but like I said, I think in last week, that's why I like my King James or my Rhema Bible, because there's no commentary. It's just, I can sit here and just read it. You know, some of these other Bibles, like, I mean, I know there's nothing wrong with it, but you look at some of these other Bibles and, you know, there's like, this is commentary, you know, this is commentary, this is commentary. So, you know, I mean, you're talking about some pages, there's, you know, most of it's commentary. And it's just nice to sit back and actually read the words of Jesus. Just read what he does, where he's gone, you know. I think it's cool to, especially when you read the Gospels, you can get a map and say, oh, Jesus started here, and then he went to Capernaum, and then I see he went to Jerusalem, and then he went here, and here, and here. And then I sometimes with Paul's three missionary journeys, I go, well, he started here, and then he went here, and then he went here, and then he went here, and then this happened, and then he stayed in Ephesus here, and then he was thrown in prison in Rome, and then... So it's kind of neat to see those things, but there's nothing like just picking up the Bible and reading it. And so in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, it says, large crowds followed Jesus as he came down the hillside. Now, why are large crowds following Jesus? I don't see them following the Pharisees. I don't see them following other people. It's because there are good things that follow Jesus. He is manifesting good things. He is not mad at people. He is loving people. I mean, the disciples we see in the Gospels are trying to get the kids away from Jesus because they want to climb all over him. They want to be all over Jesus. There's something about him that people are attracted to. Why? Because there's love that is just oozing out from him, and he is healing and blessing people. Verse 2, look, a leper is approaching. He kneels before him, worshiping. Sir, the leper pleads, if you want to, heal me. Now, this is an absolutely very crucial statement here to pick up on. Verse 3, Jesus touches the man. I want to. So that kind of kills the notion of God is trying to put sickness and disease on people, right? Or that Jesus is schizophrenic. Well, Jesus, God's just putting sickness into these other people. No, the man said, do you want to heal me? And Jesus said, yeah, I do. I want to heal you. No, I enjoy your fingers falling off and your toes while we're talking, right? No. And then he says, be healed. And 5 years later, the leprosy disappeared. No, immediately the leprosy disappears. Now, I want to ask you something too, okay? And then everybody here, so I'm just talking to the choir here. Is leprosy probably a little worse than COVID? You think it's a little bit more... And Jesus went, right like that, and was healed. And we're not belittling COVID, because I've had people, you know, recently, a number of people that have died from it just from, you know, junk that's gone on. But, you know, you watch the news and you think if you have COVID, you're going to die immediately. You know, I mean, yes, people have died, and we don't want to belittle that. And I have, like I said, I have friends that have, but again, it's not directly because of that, because of other things. But leprosy is pretty bad. I would put that on the bad. Serious stuff. You know, Jesus didn't even blink an eye or anything. He's like, yeah, be healed. Bye. See ya. It was nothing to him. Yeah. I mean, the Lord is like cold all the way up to leprosy, cancer, you know, plagues. What I mean, it doesn't really matter. There's no, you know, wasn't Jesus caught off like, oh, leprosy. Okay, I got to work it up here. Hold on. Right? There was no working anything up. There was nothing. It was just like, be healed. You know, it was like, oh, I got to get into the groove now, man. I got to really work it up here. Hold on. Come back next week. We'll try it. There wasn't any of that. And then Jesus said to him, don't stop to talk to anyone. Yeah, right. And go right over to the priest and be examined. And take with you the offering required by Moses' law for lepers who are healed, a public testimony of your cure. Now, interestingly enough here, you're thinking, why is this important? Well, number one, Jesus is all about the law, right? He's still about it. We see in Galatians, Paul wrote the people at Galatia, he said the law isn't a bad thing. We always think of like, oh, it's the law. No, it's not, the law is not bad. We in ourselves could not fulfill the law, right? I mean, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments even though we know we couldn't keep it. Hello? The only thing about the Ten Commandments was obviously we needed to do, you know, at that time, they needed to do what they could to obey the Ten Commandments. But what it was a reflection of, you cannot do this yourself. I've got to rescue you because, see, you cannot fulfill all this stuff. And God never expected them to fulfill the Ten Commandments. Hello? He did not expect them to fulfill the Ten Commandments because if they did, they wouldn't need Jesus. Hello? And then, so here we are. And the other reason why because he wanted the religious folks to see the amazing things that the Father did. It was a testimony to the religious folks to fulfill the law, the Mosaic law, and then also too, he needed to show them that, yes, God is healing people now. And when Jesus arrived in Capernaum, a Roman, here we go, army captain came and pled with him to come to his home and heal his servant boy who was in bed paralyzed and racked with pain. Now, yes, Jesus said, I will come and heal him. You ever notice that people, everybody come and heal? The thing that Jesus says is what? Yes, I want to heal you. Yes, I'll come. Yes, I'll be there. Yes, 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 right? Yes, 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 yes. There was never any of these scenarios. You look at all the Gospels, there's never anything like, well, it's actually my Father's will that you'd have that sickness. It's really our will that you continue to cripple around, and it's our will that you be sick, and it's our will that you be doubled over for 18 years and you can't see anybody or look them in the eye or do anything, that you have to look down to the ground for 18 years. We kind of think that's cute, and you know, we're hopefully that's teaching you a lesson. Well, the only lesson is I'm in pain. This is embarrassing and it's terrible. But Jesus here says, yes, he said, I will come and heal him. Then the officer said, sir, I am not worthy to have you in my home, and it isn't necessary for you to come. Now, wait a minute here. If Jesus said, I'll come to your house, there is nothing that's going to stop me from having him over, right? This guy is crazy. Jesus just said all of these healings and everything else. He came to him and said, heal my servant. And Jesus said, yeah, I'll come. And then he says, no, don't come. Don't come. I don't need you to come. Just say the word and he'll be healed. And he said, if you will only stand here and say, be healed, my servant will get well. I know because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another one, come, and he comes, and to my slave boy, do this or that, and he does it. And I know that you have authority to tell his sickness to go, and it will go. This guy knew that Jesus was submitted to God. He was submitted and committed. And then Jesus stood there amazed. Now, that never really happened in the Bible. I don't really read any other time where Jesus said he was totally amazed. Turned to the crowd and he said, I haven't seen faith like this in all the land of Israel. And I tell you that many Gentiles like this Roman officer shall come from all over the world and sit down in the kingdom of heaven with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And many an Israelite, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, shall be cast in outer darkness into the place of weeping and torment. Then Jesus said to the officer, go on home. What you have believed has happened. And the boy was healed that same hour. Verse 14, when Jesus arrived in Peter's house, Peter's mother-in-law was in a bed with a high fever. She had COVID, right? Let's just say COVID. But when Jesus touched her hand, the fever left her. She got up and prepared a meal for him. That evening, several demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. And when he spoke a single word, all the demons fled and all the sickness were healed. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. He took our sicknesses and bore our diseases. When Jesus noticed how large the crowd was growing, why was he growing? He instructed his disciples to get ready to cross to the other side of the lake. Here we have a complete heathen dared to believe the Lord. A complete heathen dared to believe the Lord. I mean, it wasn't Roman. The whole Roman Empire, they were into worshiping demigods and all of these other false deities, right? All these other false gods. And this guy knew that Jesus had something. Why didn't he go to his gods? Why didn't he go to them? Why didn't he do these things? Because he knew there was proof in the pudding and Jesus had something that no one else had. And all those demons fled. You notice how, too, all the sickness, when the demons fled, all the sicknesses were healed. I believe a lot of people are dealing with demonic influences on their life. And it's not just a sickness and disease, but it's a spirit involved that needs to be cast out. And many people are medicated and demons are hiding. Because it says right here, right? When the demons left, people were healed. So that means that there are demonic forces hindering people. And there's sickness and disease, and it's caused by demonic forces. Well, it sure isn't God. Or the Holy Spirit, yeah. Oh, let's put a little sickness on people. Oh, that sounds like fun. I was at Rhema, we were watching this thing about this satanic priest, and he got born again, and got saved, and got delivered. And they're just talking about all the things that they would do to try to put sickness and disease on people. It's real. So, you know, the media and everything wants you to think that, oh, it's just, you know, nothing to see here, nothing going on. Well, these Satanists like to wear masks and they like to stand 6 feet apart. So everything that we see is symbolic. Everything. Because it's funny, because I saw bootleg videos years ago, before this even happened, and they were talking about, and this guy did some undercover work, and he showed videos of them and their seances and everything. What do they have? They had masks on, and they were all 6 feet apart. That's why they want you to do it. So then give me a break. Like a virus can't go past 6 feet, right? Right? The stuff is laughable, but you have to be asleep not to see it. And so when you see it, and you know that these people that are in New World Order, they're Satanists, they're demonic. I remember watching a thing about, just kind of give you, Putin had mentioned something about all of these world leaders behind the scenes are all Satanists. All these world leaders are coming out and saying they're all devil worshipers. It's common knowledge. And they're trying to put that, spirit on all of us. And it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, I'm telling you right now. So it's the stuff is laughable. If you begin to, I wouldn't encourage you to study any of that junk because it's not worth studying. But the occultists, you see it on TV all the time. You see it in movies. You see everything it's all over the place. What they're trying to do is invoke these things into this realm. It's a spiritual war, guys. We see Ephesians, it says that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and darkness in high places. That's all it is. We're not dealing with, it's not a political party, it's not this or that. It all comes down to there's a satanic realm that's trying to bring in or call in these evil forces. And what did Jesus come to do? Came to destroy them. And destroy them he did. Really good job. So, you know, he did it at the cross. It's all done and it's all paid for. It's just whether we're going to walk in it or not. Whether we're going to put up with the devil or not. And so Luke chapter 7, verse 11, we'll close. And you know, as you begin to say this to people, and they think you're crazy, and it's like I could spend 2 hours just talking about nothing but just proof of everything throughout the years, over the last couple thousand years, that we've seen. You know, and many of you probably listen to a lot of the stuff too, but you know, just over the last few thousand years, this New World Order. And the crazy thing is, it happened in the Tower of Babel. What happened? They were trying to do a New World Order, and God said, let's come down. That's where all of this stuff happened. And we see that Nimrod was a cohort of all of this junk. And what was it? It was all about, we're going to exclude God, we're going to do this ourselves, and we're going to create our own society, and we don't need God involved. And there was a lot of other weird things going on at that time. And then God came down and destroyed it, right? Because it's dangerous. Anytime when you're wanting to, you know, get your way to heaven, now we're seeing all this other junk. We're seeing transhumanism. We're seeing, you know, I'm going to be part machine and part human, and I'm going to live forever and all this other junk. It's all over the place. It's in blatant view, and it's definitely a slap in God's face, right? Because we are, when he made us, we were made perfect, and, you know, he wants to be our healer. He wants to be our provider. He wants to be the lover of our soul, and he's mine. Luke chapter 7, verse 11, it says, soon after Jesus went with his disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed him. Amazing, all these large crowds are following him. Why? Because there's so many good things happening. A funeral procession was coming out as he approached the village gate. Now, that's crazy because everything Jesus does, he brings to life, right? The young man who had died was at a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. So they're having this funeral procession going on, and Jesus is going to wreck the party. Here it comes. When the Lord saw her, his heart overflowed with compassion. Everything Jesus does is with compassion, right? You can't tell me that he was nailed to a cross and he just did that. The thing that drove him was compassion to the cross. See, compassion drove him to heal people. Compassion drove him to confront the religious folks. Compassion drove him to the cross to take the pain. And yes, he did go to hell. So yes, he was there 3 days, we see in Ephesians and also in Revelation. Yes, he went to hell for 3 days because of compassion. He had to go to hell and pay the price. And then Revelation chapter 1, he took death, hell, and the keys to death, hell, and the grave at that point. When he went to hell that third day, boom, he blew it all up. It says that he made a show of them openly. So what he did is he paraded their naked rear ends all over the spiritual realm and said, I have ripped you apart. You are completely defanged. You are all bark and no bite. I have destroyed you. I have stripped you down. I have the keys back. I came to your living room and I knocked your teeth down your throat, and you are finished. Amen. And at that point, he took the keys, death, hell, and the grave, and he paraded the devil and his naked rear end and everybody else and completely made them look like a fool in front of the other, in the whole spirit realm, in front of the angels and the demons and every other living being out there. And he said, this is what happens to those who come against me and who are going to come against my kids. And so we see that. And so here we go. We see that when the Lord saw her, his heart was overflowed with compassion. Don't cry, he said. Then he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bears stopped. Young man, he said, I tell you to get up. Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Great fear swept the crowd, and they began praising. They praised God, saying, "A mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people today." And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. Now, and we'll end here, but just one other thing to think about. Jesus said, "In that day, you'll do greater things than me." Well, number one of the greater things that he didn't do at that time was to get people born again, right? Which is greater than everything that he's done. Because he had to die on the cross. He's the one that redeemed people, but we're going to lead people into salvation. But I believe we're going to see more people raised from the dead. Amen? I believe we're going to see more people raised from the dead. You know, Ader and I were down in Mardi Gras, and we saw a girl came back to life. Died, stopped breathing. People were there, laid hands on her. She came back to life again. Wouldn't it be cool to have people who are died, they get cremated, and then God has a creative miracle right there? Yeah. I mean, you talk a lot to people like, oh, that's crazy and everything. God is a God of the absolute impossible. I mean, you know, when I read things about, we talk about Doubting Thomas. See, what Doubting Thomas would do, he went to India. He'd take a bucket of water and throw it up and command it in the name of Jesus to stay in midair, and he would preach the gospel. And water would stand in the midair, freeze in midair, and he'd preach and get people saved, right? So that's a sign and a wonder.
Yeah.
See, that's something that just, I mean, you walk by and you're like, oh, there's just water like hanging in midair. That's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. It's not hanging from a building or anything. It's just weird, right? I mean, you know, people are like, well, where's the scripture for that? Let me tell you where the scripture for that is. I will gladly show you, like the old Popeye cartoon with Wimpy, I will gladly pay you the second Tuesday of next week. Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere the word, working with them, and confirmed the word with signs following." Other places in the Bible talk about signs and wonders. A wonder is like, whoa, how did that happen? Once you get that on YouTube or, you know, before they take it off, right? Censor. This is fake news. This is, you know, how dare we? How dare we have anything else out there? This doesn't fit into the agenda. Well, you know what? Jesus in the Bible just doesn't fit into the world's agenda. I'm sorry. And you're going to rub some people the wrong way. And it's okay. I'm used to it. So Ader and I are used to it. People, well, I don't agree with this and I don't agree with that. And we're going to, you got to show me one scripture for what you're saying, right? Well, you know, it's just God's will. He heal everybody. Really? Because every person he ran into, he said yes. Right. I mean, that's what my Bible says. Every single person that Jesus ran into, he said, yes. Yeah. Yeah, let's do it right now. Come on. Let's do it. Because, you know, if it was always the question of he may or may not, why were there huge crowds following him? Why does it say he healed every single person that came to him, every demon-possessed person that came to him? And then I'll follow to this scripture, Matthew chapter 9. I get 12 closings, so that's okay. Well, Matthew chapter 9, and it says, "And Jesus went about," verse 35, "and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in the synagogues." What was he teaching? God is good. He's here to heal you. He's here to deliver you. There's great things. God is so good. He loves you. Rather than the condemning junk that the religious folks were saying, they were saying, if you don't do this, if you don't do this, God's going to whack you. He's like, you know, Italian mafia up there. He's going to whack you if you don't do it. Then it says they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness. Corona cancer, leprosy, any junk that comes his way, he's gonna destroy it, and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was what? Moved with compassion. See, his heart moved him to change situations. And then it says, on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd, then said he unto the disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous and the labors are few, but pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth labors into his harvest.
Yeah.
There is no if, ands, or buts. It's all yes with God. And I want to see more miracles myself. I'm telling you right now, I haven't seen enough miracles. I want to see more miracles. I see, you know, I read and listen to Brother Hagin and the amazing things that happened and the healing revival in the 40s and the charismatic movement in the 70s. And I think God is ready to just bust the seams out here, that amazing things are going to happen. And I think we're going to see massive amounts of people healed like never before. It's because God loves people, right? There's been a lot of political junk going on, and I don't really care about the political junk. It just comes down to Jesus delivering people and helping them. That's it. Amen? God needs to help people. Jesus, the manifestation, we just need to see people delivered and healed and set free. Amen?
Amen.
And so, you know, and it's like I said before, you know, it's people can argue theology, and this is what happened to Jesus and the Sadducees before. They want to argue with Jesus, but you can't argue a healing. You can't argue, you know, a blind man, their eyes popping up. And you can't argue somebody who's been lame and now can walk. You can't argue touching a coffin and the kid pops out. You can't argue with any of this stuff when it's a miracle. When God shows up, that's why it's a sign and wonder, because it makes you wonder.
Yeah.
And it's a sign. It's like, that doesn't make sense. Father, we thank you tonight for Jesus. We thank you so much. Of your healing power, Lord God, your yes, your willingness to heal us, your willingness to keep us healed, your willingness to save us, Lord God. It says there in the book of Timothy, wish above all that God's will is that all men come to the knowledge of the saving knowledge of Christ. It's your desire that all people be saved. It's your desire that all people be healed. It's your desire that all people be well. It's because of your compassion and your love for your creation, your prized creation that the devil tries to attack to get to you. But Lord, you are here to redeem us, to save us, and heal us. And we love you in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, Wednesday night,
Amen.
Man, we had a great time of worship on Wednesday night, yep. Prayer time. And it was just so totally refreshing. And I am excited. Amen.
Amen.